be a people who take time in the morning and get up and wanting to just spend a couple minutes just even silent. How many of you guys wake up and the first thing you do is turn to your phone and just check on what's going on last night? What'd you miss out on last night? We're all guilty of that. Every single one of us. Maybe some of you super spiritual ones have a lock on your phone until 10 a.m. or something. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. But it is important to take some time in the morning just to wait and listen and not talk to God first, but just say, okay, God, what do you want to say for me this morning? And so this morning let me back up. 3 or 4 weeks ago, we started off with just an introduction, and we saw the story of Samuel and Eli, just the conversations that they had and back in the book of Samuel, and how Eli was training Samuel to hear God's voice. And that's what God's doing right now. He is training us as a people to learn how to hear him well. And I believe that every single person in this room can hear God's voice. And I believe that we can get better and better and better in hearing God. It's not so much that God isn't speaking, it's just we're not hearing. Okay, God's always speaking. And we just simply want to unclog our ears so that we can hear. And so, it's not just hearing, but it's also listening. It's listening to the heart of God and what he has for all of us as a church. And so I love this church. One of the reasons sometimes you see me in the back is I have a different perspective in the back. I'm not one to have like the little reserved little pastor only in the front, although we could do that just for fun. I like being in the back because I just get perspective and I get to pray and just see, you know, kind of the whole church. For me, it just makes me fall in love with this church more. I can see the people just worshiping God and just people praying for one another. I'm just like, wow, this is just so awesome to see God just move. And it gives you perspective. And so I love being back there. So if you wonder why the pastor's back there, not in front, maybe like you normally see it in church, but I guess that's just how I roll, you know? And so, I like the back. Anyways, let's turn your Bibles to Psalm 37:4. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible besides Matthew 6:33, which is very similar. Back in college, I'd have a little sticky note, and I put it right next to my bedside. Psalm 37:4, and you know, we're going to talk about desires today. But we're not going to talk about, you know, our desires, because it's not our desires that change the world. It's his desires through us that change the world. It's his desires through us that transform cities and nations. And so we're going to talk about desires today, but we're going to take you through a way to get you at your own personal mission statement. Okay, I've worked on mine for a long time. I've been a Christian for 18 years. We got one clapping in the back. Trixie can always count on Trixie just being like, "Woo, that's right." You can be louder. You can be loud. It's all good. So Psalm 37:4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." And, you know, what I want to say is that God does speak through our desires, but the problem is there's two problems, and I want to just state that right off the bat, and then we'll break it down. So number one is that we don't know who God is, and number two is we don't know who we are. But the key of knowing who we are is knowing who God is, because God is creator. You already know that, but let's just make some sense of that. Like, what was it? Perpetua was playing this morning. He's like, makes common sense common again for all of us. Wisdom. Let's understand again. Let's make it really simple that if we know who God is, we are going to know who we are because he created us. And so we need to tap into the heart of God to know what's in our hearts, what he put in us. And every single person has been made to do amazing things. And so let's break it down that, you know, if we delight ourselves in the Lord, what does it mean to delight in yourself in anything, right? We delight in food, right? We take delight in lots of different pleasures and different things. But when we delight in God, when he's our one thing, it says in Psalm 37:4, which seems to be a theme a lot of people are thinking of this week, that if we say that he is the one thing, or Matthew 6:33, it says, if we seek him first, he'll add everything else onto us. Early on in college, when I was 18 years old and I got saved, I knew, I was like, I just bit into that verse, man. I took it all the way to where I am now. And I just said, God, if I really do, if this is true, if I really do seek you with all my heart, and I'm about the one thing where he told Martha, he said, no, leave Mary alone. The one thing that she's doing right now, it's not that, you know, making dinner in the kitchen's bad. We all got to do that. We all got to work. We all got to serve. But he says the one thing, though, the one thing that matters the most and matters even in this season, this time, is to seek my face. And when we do that, he will give us the desires of our heart. But really, it's his desires that are now made known to us that now we can make known to them. Isn't that great? It's just the way it works. It's beautiful. All right, so let me just break some things down. So the three things that we have to know, before we know how we're wired and all those things, I'll take you through some of that. But three things you need to know right now is that this is what God is all about. This is what he's thinking all the time. He's in the details, right? He's in the waiting until we come, you know, into the fruition of what he's called us to. He's with us all the time. He's with the but these are the big picture things that he's always thinking. It's always on his mind. Number one is friendship. He's about friendship. He wants us to enjoy him forever. It's why he created us with eternal spirits. He's not just interested in us for 70 years, but for all of eternity. He's not just interested in us for how many, that's why we've got to have eternity on our minds as it's in our souls. It says in Ecclesiastes that he created us with eternity, like eternity is in us. It's, we are going one place in eternity or another place. It's either heaven or hell for eternity because that's how he created us for eternity. We will never ultimately die in like annihilation. I mean, we'll sleep forever, as some people say. But he created us to enjoy us forever. That's amazing. It's just like if, as a father, as I was running with Judah this morning, as I normally do, and I was, as I'm running, he's, you know, I'm like praying, but he's now starting. It used to be like I could just run and pray and everything. Now he talks my ear off the entire time. Daddy, look at that palm tree. I love palm trees. Palm trees are so cool. Can we plant palm trees in the backyard? Whoa, look at that squirrel. That's amazing. Wow, that bird just flew. It's awesome. I love it. But it's the desire in a father to be with his children, to talk, to commune with, right? That's what we're creating. That's his desire, and it should be ours, right? If we have a desire to spend time with God, it's because it originated with him first. So Psalm 27:4, David knew, he's like, man, my one desire, well, how do I get this? It's not like you were born with a one desire. He created you for it. And once we get saved and we get to know him, we realize, wow, that's really what he's about. And then, you know, little Judah, he says, Dad, one day I'm going to have your head. Just like, what? I don't know if you want my head, you know, but he's like, I want your head. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, one day I'm going to grow up. I want to be a daddy when I grow up. And I want to be a digger when I grow up. And so he's already got his whole life plans. He's going to be a dad. Then first you're going to be a husband. Then you're going to be a dad. And then you'll be a digger. So just, you know, that's how it works. And so, you know, he loves that. Okay. So number two is that we want to enjoy his people. God enjoys his people, not just you as a person, but as it relates to everybody, the tribe. We talk about that often, right? We are created for family. Often it says, you know, he's a father to the fatherless. He puts the lonely in family. So if you feel like connected to God, but yet you feel a little lonely with the family, that's why there's a missing piece. You feel that because that is his desire. Does that make sense? So the things that we're longing for is often what he's longing for. So he created us to be in family. And so he wants us to enjoy not only God himself, but his people. And number three, big picture, is his mission to expand his kingdom. And you know what? Your calling, if you want to look at it that way, you know, there's so many different ways to slice it, but your calling has to and must incorporate all three of those things. Okay? And we'll get to some of the specifics and how we break that thing down and some of the subliminal messages that we hear all the time and all the different messages even we hear in the church that have really messed us up. And we'll talk about those in a little bit, but it's really important that we realize that some of you have been sold a bill of goods that have led to disillusionment. And we'll break some of that down. So, okay, let me say it another way. That you were created to fill the earth with his glory. Okay? You guys, I mean, I'm serious. One of the reasons why I stay in the back too is because I'm like, and I just like to be in observation mode because I just love the talent in our church. I love the talent. And if you're sitting there thinking, man, they don't know me, just stay a little longer and let God do what he needs to do in you. And everyone will eventually know that. And it'll be a blessing to everybody in the church. Okay? And I love when Angie spoke not that long ago, when she shared her testimony, and it was so powerful in the midst of all these people in Awaken when we were in the rescue mission in Orlando. It was just amazing. I was like, man, if we didn't go for the big ask and ask her, hey, can you share? Man, I know that, 100 plus people, whatever was in that room, there's a lot of people there, that they would have never gotten blessed and gotten to know the heart of God. Just she has the heart of God. And when she speaks, people get to experience God's heart in a very genuine, soft, humble way that is just easy to receive. And we all have, whether it's not just speaking, but it's music and all those things. And so we are made for amazing things, but we are to fill the earth with his glory. We are also to destroy the works of the devil. That gets me excited. It's just like the fight part, it's just like, fill the earth with his glory reminds me of dancing, and like destroy the work of the devil. It's like, where are we going now? both are great, but that's, we are called to, that's what Jesus did. He came. That's why he literally brought the children to him. He spoke identity over them. He blessed people. But he also whooped the devil's butt, man. It was awesome. Really? I mean, it was just like, come on. Hey, you want some? You picking on the wrong guy this morning. You know what I'm saying? It's like, bam. The poor boy is like convulsing. He's like foaming at the mouth. And his disciples like, I don't know what to do anymore. And he's like, hey, what's up? It's like, boom. It just demons fly out of people. It's amazing. And I just love how he came. It says that in the Bible, by the way, okay, in 1 John. He came to destroy the works of the devil. And what did the enemy come to do? To kill, steal, and destroy. It's not a fair fight. It's not a fair fight. Why? Because God is not an angel. Okay, the devil is a fallen angel, and God created angels, and so somebody has the upper hand, okay? It's awesome. Somebody has the upper hand, and it's God. All right, then he also called us to multiply a family. He said, be fruitful and multiply. He loves people. He loves creating people. Every time there's a birth anywhere in the world, people just get excited. It's new life. Right? That's that pleasure that you feel when there's a new life, that's the pleasure he feels. He loves because he knows that little baby will turn into someone that will fill the earth with his glory and destroy the works of the devil. It's like a little flow of dance on one side, machine gun in another, and it's awesome. Rolling with family. That's how we do it. That's how we do church, man. That is church in a nutshell. Okay. All right. But we often don't know who we are. We don't know how we're wired, okay? And so there is a story recently that I read. One of the greatest ballerina dancers, some of you guys who like to dance would appreciate this, and one of the best ballet dancers and choreographers in Great Britain. And she, in the 1930s, she could not sit still in class. And so her mother took her to the doctor and said, I don't know what to do with this girl. I as a frustrated mother. And the doctor just was, trying to figure out. And in the 1930s, they didn't have ADHD. So they probably would have diagnosed or given some medicine, whatever. But in this case, the doctor said, hey, come here, to the mother. And they were looking at like the little glass window, whatever, that you could see them, they can't see you. And what he did was he put on some music. She said, she's not crazy. She's not all over the place. She's a dancer. And see, that is so beautiful, isn't it? We sometimes, a lot of times, why we don't know ourselves is because there's so much, either the devil steals it or there's so much the other's expectations on you. And so in this case, and we'll break it down. So this is the inspiring part, okay? And then we'll get practical. It's the idealist and the realist, okay? So, and it'll all make sense in the end. All right, but this, what I love about that story is that it's so sad. In most cases, they were probably given her medication and told her to calm down. But the reality was there was a dancer in her, and she just needed the music and the freedom to thrive. A musician must make music, a builder must build, an artist must paint, and a poet must write, a teacher must teach. And if he or she is to ultimately feel at peace with himself, as one said. Isn't that great? We're all meant to do something. And that's the powerful thing. And I remember watching this movie years and years ago. It was in the 1980s. But Eric Little, and some of you guys know him, in the the Olympics in Paris, France. He was a Christian. He eventually went on to China for 18 years to be a missionary. Incredible missionary. But his sister kept telling him, this is what you're made for, this is what you're made for. And, you know, running wasn't that, you know, that big of a deal. Okay, you could run, but there's greater things in life, you know. But Eric Little, he felt like this is what I'm supposed to do. Yes, I'm supposed to be a missionary. I'm supposed to do a lot of different things, but I love running. And one of the quotes, if you've watched the movie, Chariots of Fire, it's an incredible movie because, one, he fought for his faith. They wanted him to run on a Sunday, and he would not run. And then I think it was, if I had the address down here, I don't know, Samuel, I think it was, if someone slipped him a note and said, if you honor me, I'll honor you. And so he by faith, he said, look, I want to honor the Lord and I want to, you know, I'll run, but I'm going to run on God's terms. And he ended up winning the gold. But one of the things he says was, he's like, when I run, I feel his pleasure. What makes you feel his pleasure? Write that down. Take that into your time with Jesus. What makes you feel his pleasure? What have you done in the last couple of weeks and maybe over the last course of the last couple of years or whatever? What have you done that just make, man, I just feel God's pleasure? Yesterday when we were going evangelizing, we're knocking on people's doors in the neighborhoods and stuff. And, you know, it always happens. I end up being with a bunch of people and we go door to door and there's a sense of frustration that happens, right? Because we're not seeing the results. We're so results oriented in America. But we have to get higher. And when we hear the voice of God in the scriptures and in our hearts say, go and make disciples, then when we go and make disciples, whether we see results or not, we could feel his pleasure. Why? Because it's obedience. And so I've just thought, man, I feel God's pleasure when we do this. Because it has to do with that missional part. We feel God's pleasure when we are doing his desires. And that might be running. You know, and did that story glorify God for many countless millions of people? Oh, yeah, for sure. Movies were made and quotes and all that. I mean, it's incredible. My kids know him. They had the little video on Right Now Media. We watched that video, and they know who Eric Little is. And, I mean, it's incredible when something just simple as running, and you could glorify God if that's what you're made to do. Also, let me ask you this. What makes you glad, mad, or sad? I know it sounds kind of funny, but when we look at the story of Nehemiah, that man was frustrated at something. He was frustrated that God was not getting glory back in Jerusalem. So he went to go build Jerusalem, eventually then the temple. And he wanted to restore back the way God had meant it to be. Do you guys get frustrated in this city because it doesn't look like Jesus yet? What is it in your workplace that makes you frustrated? What makes you sad? Does it make you sad that countless millions of women are in sex slavery right now? Does it make you frustrated that men are constantly stuck in the same trends that in pornography or whatever? Does it make you frustrated or mad or sad? I mean, what is it that gets you kind of going? I mean, I remember thinking about this. It's like, I don't want to just, look, if you know my story, I've shared it many different times, many different ways and settings. But I did not want to be a pastor. I ran from God three different times from this calling, and he kept bringing me back. He's like, no, I don't think you understand. Like, pull you back. So it's like, it's okay, you know. And I get that. I mean, I get that as a father. It's like, you know, when you tell your kids, like, okay, let's try this again, you know. But you know, I didn't want to do that. But you know, but then eventually when I caught on to what God wanted me to do, I realized I don't just want to be a pastor. I don't want to just like, you know, teach and preach and all that stuff. Like I don't know how to do any of that stuff. I mean, he taught me how to do all this, but he was so faithful in it. But really what got me going the most was just, I want to see the church be the church. I really want to see people come alive and what they're called to do so that we all can do it together. We truly, and that's when the phrase came a little bit later that that God had called me to champion, so to speak, is to be a family who seeks God together on mission. And those three elements, those three places, those three things, seeking and family and mission is the heart of God. That's his desires. And when we share that, man, you just explode on the inside. Eventually, all others are inspired and equipped and mobilized to do the same. All right. Another one is your gifts and your desires, they tend to overlap. And when they overlap, that's your sweet spot. Okay? And again, we'll make sense of this in as far as like a career, because people have the question, okay, what does career have to do with all this? So gifts, something that God has given you that he cannot take away, okay? So that's, right now, we're not going to tap into that, but I want you guys to practice that. Take that into your time with Jesus and say, okay, God, what are my passions, desires? What are my gifts and how do they overlap and to become like, you know, the congruence it's called. You know, there's momentum when that happens, right? There's a great momentum that happens when those two things come together. And you're like, wow, I'm good at that. And I have a passion for it. And there's a need for it. And when those come together, it is like, it's like fireworks go off. I mean, it's what you're made to do. All right. The next one is Michelangelo once said, criticize by creating. This is like a holy complaining, okay? And complaining is not good. But when it's a complaining, like a criticizing from the Lord, what ends up happening is that you can write better music that connect people to the heart of God. You can also do better research that eradicates cancer. There's a holy competition, right? There's something that just fires you up that just says, come on. I mean, we got to do that. It's not comparison. It's not, if you're like, oh, I'm better than everybody else, that's not what God wants. That's not his heart. But there's something in you that's like, man, something has to change. So I'm criticizing by creating something powerful and awesome and God-given. Because remember, I've said this to many of you guys before. There are good ideas, great ideas, and there's God's ideas. And we want God's ideas. Okay, it's not just, there's a plethora of good ideas. Go to the library. Go to the internet. There's a lots of, I mean, we're not really hungry for ideas. We're hungry for God's ideas. We're hungry when there's a God-given dream and there's dreamers and there's implementers. And then that's great. I read a book one time called The E-Myth. And there's entrepreneurs, there's managers, and then there are technicians. And that's in the medical field. That's in every field, okay? That's not like the car mechanic guy, okay? The technician. I'm talking about like doctors are technicians, but some doctors are called to manage. Some doctors are called to build their own practice. You see what I'm saying? So a technician is not bad. It's not the bottom of the totem pole. That's not what we're talking about. But everybody's created differently. Some people are meant to be apostolic and take land and understand the DNA of the kingdom and impart that, okay? So, and then some are meant to implement that and to be prophetic. And that's why my dream is to see a fivefold ministry unfold. And that's the apostolic, the prophetic, pastoral, teacher, and evangelist. Okay. So ask that question. What is the greatest need in the world? Take that into your time with Jesus. Write that in your notes. What is the greatest need? What are my gifts? What are my desires? What are your desires, God? Dream them through me. I want to have a part to play in it. All right, and so let's get to personal statement. There's probably a lot of different ones in the room, and maybe you guys have done a personal mission statement, but maybe some of you guys have never even thought of that, and that's okay. So let's go through that, and then I'm going to give you some caution signs, and then we'll close. All right, so I'm going to give you, so I gave you a way to get there, and okay, there's many different ways to do that. But the main thing is to do it in the context of community, okay? Let others speak in. And that's one of the caution signs. But let me back up. I'm going to, just for example's sake, I'm going to give you four that personally, that God has given me, okay? So I always hesitate to give examples like that because I don't want to project. There is the thing called gift projection, and that's not what I want to do. Because it sounds awesome. So any one of you could come up here and say, like, this. Because when it's anointed and it's from God, it's very attractive, right? Because you're like, wow, yeah, okay, yeah, that's all I want to do. And then you realize months and months down the road, I'm like, no, that's for them. What do you have for me? Okay, so let me just give you that. So inspire, equip, and mobilize people to transform cities and nations. That's what God has called me to do. He's given me that language. It's something specific to me that I hold on to. I want to inspire people. I want to equip them, not me personally, but then to mobilize them. And that's that. I realize that a lot of the mission statements that you have to include other people in order to accomplish it. Has to have the power of God, but also has other people. I cannot do this myself. I'll burn out. What good is that when people burn out? That's not noble. Number two, an apostolic father. So it impart DNA of the kingdom, which is the apostolic part. And then the fathering part, I build families. I did it since I was in middle school. When I was in middle school or high school and college, there was just these groups that were formed, and I would just build family, bring people together. It was kind of like, it's kind of funny to say this, but early on, I was like obsessed with like sitcoms, you know, just like how people come together. It's like, you're like, you know, it's kind of like the funny guy. And then there's this guy, this guy that moves it forward. This guy, you know, and it was funny. It's like, I'm like obsessed with kind of like how God builds teams and families and the uniquenesses of it. I get up in the morning for that. I love leading our staff, and it's continually growing and diversifying. It's so much fun. And so I love how people, and it's just I don't know. I just love it. So anyway, I can go on and on about it. Okay, so the third thing is healthy church that makes a long-lasting impact. And, you know, there's like a lion protection in me, right, that kind of protects the cubs, you know, like the mama bear kind of thing. And it just, I want something that's just, it's going to last. You know, so many things that I've seen over the years, not just church, but businesses and different things that were really awesome. Like, they took away my favorite burger place when they got here. You know, like, I was like, oh, I just loved it. I used to do all this discipleship there and stuff. And they had a little car, they'd stamp it. And stuff. And I'm like, oh, they took that thing away. There's so many things that don't last. And you know what? Some of you guys have been in families that didn't make it. Mom and dad. And so many of you guys, you know, just, you know, you had jobs and they were taken from you. And there's just this sense of loss that came because something wasn't healthy. And so I came, I was like, man, God, whatever we do here, I want it to last. Does that make sense? And that's hard because there's the persevering years. And perseverance is not necessarily a top item in our culture. We just want to quit and find something new because the spinoffs and the new is more exciting for the first 2 years. But then it's the 10th year and the 20th year that are hard. But then there's the payoffs. There's the payoffs that much outweigh the short term. So, all right. And then, you know, of course, then, you know, seeing a people, a family who seeks God together on mission, seeing a church be the church and come alive and the individual giftings. I love seeing people and just been calling things out in individuals and seeing that. And so I'm like, man, it's like a coach, a champion. Like, wow, I could see that come alive in you. And you didn't see that. It's like, wow, God saw that in you. He like, I'm like, I love underdog stories and like sports stories that are just like, come on, man. You just like, it gets you going at the end. Like, let's go. Let's do this. You know, it's so exciting to see the underdog, the one who's quiet in the background. It's like, hey, it's time to get in the game. I see you. Okay, we're going to sharpen that gift in you. You don't have to be perfect, and that's not what God's calling people that are perfect. He's calling people that are willing. Yeah. And then he calls them off the bench to play. All right? All right, so here's some caution signs. So staying connected to the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. He often whispers this in my ear when I forget. But it's intimacy with me, John, that makes you great. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever ride on your gifting. I've given you a gift, but don't ride on it. See the difference? It's walk with me, and I will highlight that gift and sharpen it in you to see the glory of God come to the earth. Stay connected to the body. Just mentioned that before. It's really important. So many times people press the eject button and leave because they're frustrated, but it's over the long haul that we sharpen that thing. Number three, this is the hard one. You may not make your money doing what God has called you to do as far as fulfilling the mandate that he's called you to do. Some people will be able to do that, okay? I recognize that. There are some people that, and I don't know how in God's economy, I don't know how that works. I don't know how that works. I know there are people really frustrated. They're all like, man, I wish I could get paid doing this. But here's where the church has sold people a bill of goods that leads to disillusionment. I've seen so many people get so hurt by this idea of like inspiring and just come on, just do it. You do it. You know what you just wake up in the morning and do whatever you're called to do. You know, it's just, do you know what I'm saying with those kind of messages? Does that make sense? It's hurt people. It's hurt people so much that they just feel like they're riding on emotion. And the emotion of it. I'm good at this. And this is what people told me. So I'm going for it. I'm going to just make a living. I'm going to raise support. I'm going to do this. I'm going to, you know, GoFundMe or whatever. And the reality is you may or may not be able to do it. It may be a timing issue. It may just be a developmental issue. We don't know. But I think in one sense, we're to be tapping into that desire. In other words, I see a lot of people in this church, they have amazing giftings. Like Carol is not getting paid for this. I highly respect people that are just like, this is my gift to the church. I have one leg in the church to build them up and to bless them, and I have one church in the one foot in the world in my workplace, and this is what I do. So Carol does a certain thing for a living to make some money to pay for her bills, so that she can make an impact there. And God wants us to do that, but she's going to be a blessing to the church. And some people are just going to have more weight on the church side because maybe they're pastoral or whatever, and that's great, or musicians. And some are just going to be like, man, my goal is I'm not like that passionate about business, but I am passionate about reaching men who are lost and broken, and I want to see that place revived. There's no perfect way to do this. But I want a church that has a healthy view, and so we're not off in left field somewhere doing our own thing and buying into these messages that are just false, and they hurt you. And they're like, man, I thought this was the way it was going to be. My college life was just incredible, and I was doing this, and I was hearing, wow, inspiring to do that. And now I'm like, I don't really want like my job anymore. I don't really care. And you've lost the vision. Let's go back to those three things. God, what is your desire for me? Oh yeah, I could be satisfied by just walking with you. Yeah. I could be satisfied like right now. I could be satisfied by just hanging out. And like, Grace and Brian have been asking me to see their cat for I don't know how long. And they know I don't like cats. I don't like cats. It's a confession. I'm sorry. No, half of you guys hate me now. I hope it's like 10%. But And so, you know, Nicole was at a bachelorette party this weekend, so I had the kids again, and so I said, you know, and I said, okay, well, let's go see the cat. And so we're just like, you know, because Nicole's allergic to cats, and they say it's hyperallergenic, but I don't believe them. Sorry. So we go see the cat, and they make us homemade pizzas, which was phenomenal. Grace and Brian did a great job. And so we're just over there, and it was just like, literally, we're just sharing life. It was just normal. No ministry talk, really. It was like hanging out. We're playing Settlers of Catan, which I won for the first time. I've never played that game. I was like, yeah. Yeah. I was like, come on. I had no idea what I was doing. No idea. Until the end, I was like, I'll just build these two roads right here. And they're like, you won the game. No way. I was like, yeah, I did win the game. So, not a piece of pizza, you know? Yeah. But it was fun. But we just, and the point is, we just, you know, you wake up in the morning, you spend time with God, and I forgot. It was like, I took, you know, just pastor cap. I was just a dad. I was just hanging out with the kids. We're going over, eating pizza, we're playing Settlers of Catan, talking, sharing life, and they like their essential oils, so we like, you know, ooh, that's nice. Ooh, that's nice, that one. And it's like, They like their purple beds. She was like, ooh, that's nice. I was like going over to aunt and uncle's house. You know, it's like, hey, kids, here's aunt and uncle. You know, hey, Grace and Brian, Uncle Brian and Grace. And so, but it was a lot of fun. And we just kind of hung out. And it was simple. But that's what we were made for. We were made for that type of family. We're made just to hang out with people and enjoy them, encourage one another. And I want my kids to see the simplicity of that as well. So, all right, so anyways, number four, be careful of comparison because either leads to pride or jealousy, right? If you feel like you're better than somebody, well, it leads to pride. It's like, like, in other words, you could say, well, I'm the one that did all this or whatever. No, it's God through you did that. And it also, if you feel like, man, you're on the downside of that thing, you're going to feel jealous. You're going to feel like, man, I wish I could be that person. Well, if all of you are that person, you won't like our church. You actually won't. Because everybody has a part to play. And you know what? The best thing to do is to honor. Yeah. Because when we honor, there's two things that happen. We all get to benefit, and the person that's struggling gets to have their fire lit again. Yeah. All right, so number five, all right, be careful of selfish ambition. It says in James 4, 2 to 3, it says, you lust and do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motive so that you may spend it on your own pleasures. Wow. When sometimes we don't get what we want because God knows that if he gives it to us, it will go wild. It wouldn't glorify him at all. It's for yourself. And so that's why sometimes it's frustrating. I'm like, so if you're doing the asking, okay, God, I really want to do this so bad. And I'll just let that slide into the next one. If you want it too much, you may want it for the wrong reasons. If you want it that bad, you're like, I mean, come on, we've all been there. I've been there. I mean, we've all been there where we have to sacrifice that thing. We've all been there. We're like, man, we just want it that bad. You're just like, but I'm going to glorify God with it. You know, it is like, God's just like, man, what? You know, like, what? Hold on a second. You will glorify me. Okay, but just let's just get some of those things out that are not supposed to be there, and then you'll thrive. All right, so I forgot our number. The next one here. Emotion is a great servant, but a terrible master. It is a great servant. I mean, there are things that I get like real passionate about. I'm like, but then like, you know, after a while, it's like, you know, I'm not as. God might have used me as a, you know, like I call it like the Old Testament style, you know, coming on. It's like God comes on like Samson. He's like, ah, you know. Like, that was like the Incredible Hulk back then. You know what I'm saying? That was awesome. Like, it was one of those scenes where, like, you know, you get to heaven, you're like, can I get the Samson DVD? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Like, let me get the Samson DVD. We'll watch it with Samson. Like, put it in. Wow, what in the world is that? You know? But where'd that come from? Say hello to my little friend. You know, like, like, that thing was awesome. But it's like God said that he comes on a person. He comes on, but then other times for a season. Right, but that might not be your calling like forever. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes that could be a little deceiving. You're like, wow, so I led a mission trip. Doesn't mean that you're like going to be this apostolic leader for the rest of your life and you're supposed to quit your job and go. Do you know what I'm saying? That can be deceptive and it could actually hurt you. It doesn't hurt us, like me personally, but it will hurt you and then eventually it will, because we're going to miss your puzzle piece. We need you to be you. So, all right. And then there's the deciphering whether it waxes and wanes over time. This is kind of what I'm talking about a little bit. So sleep on it. That's my best advice for a long time. For a year. No, I don't know. But just you could tell if it waxes and wanes. Do you understand what I'm saying? You're like, wow, this is what I think I'm supposed to be. I think I'm supposed to be a doctor or something like that. That's why so many come in one way, because it was somebody else's expectations. And sometimes it is God and it requires perseverance. Yeah. You just don't know. You just got to test the waxing and waning deal. And then the they're having fun over there. So they always are. I love those guys. Okay, so this is the one that none of us like. Wait. I think what he's doing in a lot of us is he's developing. You see, the progression is connect with Jesus, then let him develop the character, let him discover the gift, and let him develop the gift, and then use the gift for the rest of your life, for the glory of God. Isn't that great? I mean, that's the father right there. That's a father. That's someone that's a father who knows the future. He's a great visionary. He connects people to his heart first. So some of you guys here, if I can have the band come up, we're just going to close on this one, okay? So what we want to happen is when freshmen sometimes come in, or not even freshmen, but young adults, whoever comes in, the first thing we want to do, so just let this be a wave that we kind of structure. This is like a visionary message in a sense, okay? So we want to make sure when you come in, if you've been here for a while, your number one goal is to make sure not what their gift is, but are they connected to God? Connect them to God. Then you want to make sure that they are people of great character. Can we trust them? I just make sure that, okay, all right, great. You're connecting to God, but is he getting to your heart? Is he developing the character in you? Then we can talk about discovering the gift. But if the gift comes first, it's disastrous because they hold on to the gift harder in fear that God might take it away because they don't know the heart of God. They need to hold on to the heart of God, and then everything else comes. It's easy. You know, I am so thankful, honestly, that my freshman year, I didn't know anything about gifts, nothing. I didn't know anything about anything in 5-6 years into it. I just wanted to connect to the heart of God. That's all I wanted to do. I wanted to connect with God's heart. I wanted to know him. He was developing character. And then, yes, of course, the dreams started coming. God-given giftings. He doesn't give a gifting later. It's all there, and you could see a measure of it. But later on, people started to speak stuff and say, hey, you know, you should try this. You should do this and whatever. And that's why we need the body. But then once the discovery of the gift happens, then it's the competency of the gift. We want to give you, and that produces confidence. That's why a lot of us walk around with no confidence, because the reality is we got the order wrong. And we just got to get back to the order and him being first. Sounds good? Sounds good. Sound good? Sounds good. Okay. All right. Where's Carol at? She's up to bat. Where's she at? Is she up there? Is she coming? Okay. All right. I love this song. I just want to worship because I think that's fitting for this morning, personally. As we seek God, as we begin to ask him, I just want to worship you. I forget all these other things. You know, I'm not worried about mission statement right now. I'm not worried about discovering the gift. I'm not worried about who I am right now. I'm worried about who he is. And let's get our eyes focused on him again. And, you know, there's something about when our eyes are fixed on him and he becomes our one thing, everything else just falls off rightly. And then it gets put back on rightly. So let it fall off. It's a freeing thing. And then let him put it back together again.